Hello and welcome to Dizzy World. Dizziness and vertigo are among the most common complaints in patients of all ages to their doctors, and yet there are still a limited number of specialists equipped to evaluate and treat these conditions. As a global leader in the science and business of equilibrium medicine, our goal is to empower healthcare providers from all specialties to help this important population of patients. On Dizzy World, we'll highlight outstanding clinicians, scientists, and business owners bringing excellent care to dizzy patients globally and living the AIB motto, dizziness and vertigo. You don't have to learn to live with it.
Hello, everyone. Today we have the pleasure of having Dr. Lindsay Carrick with us. Dr. Carrick is the Clinical Director of Audiology for ENT and Allergy Associates of Florida. Now, this is one of the country's largest and best-known otolaryngology practices. Dr. Carrick received her Doctor of Audiology degree from the University of South Alabama and her undergraduate degree from Armstrong Atlantic State University. Dr. Carrick, thank you for joining our podcast. Now, with more than 60 locations, 70 audiologists, and 90 ENT physicians, you have, without a doubt, one of the most demanding audiology management positions in the country. But before we get into your role with NTAP, tell us about your journey into audiology.
Thank you so much for having me here today, Dr. Gantz. I would say my journey into audiology probably began like most audiologists. It was through speech language pathology that I got here. So as a young child, I wanted to be a teacher, which I don't think is unusual. We idolize our teachers when we're young. And, when I got to high school, I said, I think I'm going to level up. Let's do speech therapy in the school systems. So I went to undergrad, a communication science disorder major. And two things kind of simultaneously happened in my first year in the program. One is I had my introductory class to audiology, and really my only class in audiology in undergrad, which I think is pretty standard across the board for programs, and quite unfortunate. So I really enjoyed the class and the overview of hearing and balance and found it very fascinating. The second thing that happened around that time is in undergraduate, we were required to work in the clinic alongside a graduate clinician. So I had my first client. And after our second session with my six-year-old client, working on the L's and the R's and having them try to get them sit still in a seat, I realized, I don't think this is really for me. A, speech is not for me, and B, working with pediatrics is definitely not for me. So I spoke to my preceptors at the time, the program director, and, expressed that concern and said, I really enjoyed audiology. And so I was the only student in the class that felt that way. And so they worked really hard to find me some placements out in the community in audiology to have more observation hours. And that's kind of where I went, as they call it in speech. I crossed over to that dark side, and that's where my journey began.
Well, that's great. Now, Lindsay, I know you joined NTAF in 2014, right?
Right.
But wow, what a change in the size of the practice. And your role.
Yeah.
So would you share with us what's happened over these past 10 years, where you began, and what your responsibilities are today?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you stated, I started with NTAF in 2014. And at that time, NTAF wasn't NTAF. It was actually ENT Associates of South Florida. So that kind of gives you an idea of our size at that time. We were just primarily in the Tri-County area down here. And I started in our Boca clinic, our main, what we called our flagship office, our corporate office. So it was kind of where it all began. A very busy office, typically has 5 to 6 audiologists, 7 to 8 assistants, and about 2 residents every year. So pretty busy, fast-paced clinic. After about a year there as a full-time clinician, I began as their lead. So I got promoted to the lead position. And what that really entailed was just implementing new processes, finding ways to optimize schedule flow, being the communication, the liaison position between the physicians and the audiologist. So I did that for a few years. And then as our company began to grow, our director at that time, I think, was just really stretched thin. She was onboarding a lot of new clinics. And so they had a discussion and I got promoted to audiology manager position for the Boca del Rey region. So that meant I was then the manager over 5 offices, which was a lot because I was still in clinic 3 to 4 days a week. But it, you know, I took on more of that management role in doing, you know, annual chart reviews, chart audits, optimizing schedules in 5 clinical locations, onboarding new audiologists. We were also the training site for all of our new clinics coming in. So I did that for several years. And then last year was given the opportunity to become the director. So quite a change. You know, I worked very, very closely with my previous director, had a great relationship with her, and I have big shoes to fill, but I'm totally up for the challenge. I will say that this year has been challenging, but it's been amazing. I wouldn't do it any differently. I think it has been just, I feel very honored to work alongside such an amazing group of audiologists and physicians and be their leader in this industry right now. So it's been great.
And what a responsibility it is. You know, physically, Florida is a very large state.
Huge.
And a very diverse state.
Yes.
And your clinics are all over the state.
Right, right. We're East Coast, West Coast, Panhandle.
Panhandle.
Yeah.
Wow. So Lindsay, let me ask you, with all of these responsibilities, ENTs, audiologists, extenders, support staff, on day to day, what are some of your greatest challenges, but also what are some of your greatest rewards?
Great question. How much time do you have? No, I'm kidding. I think, you know, a lot of times our challenges are our rewards, right? So, I mean, I could spend all day talking about management challenges and the multitude of personalities that you have to manage and how to do that with physicians. But I truly think some of our biggest challenges right now is just finding ways to stay relevant in the industry and kind of leading that charge with our group. You know, setting ourselves apart from our competitors and staying relevant to the patients, right? Because we're in a time right now where our patients have just so much access to information, whether it's correct or incorrect information, and finding a way to educate our patients, stand out in the industry. And I think doing this, you know, following best practices really to do this. And I think that is kind of a lost art form, right? Verification, validation. Talking about comorbidities with patients, counseling them properly, doing cognitive screenings. Like, I just feel like no one in our industry outside of kind of the medical realm is focusing on that. And that's something that we've really focused on the past few years. And I think that it brings so much value to our patients and the clinicians when it comes to counseling patients about their journey and realistic expectations, what that looks like. Another challenge I think would be making sure that we are transparent to our patients. I think historically our industry has had a tough time with that. And right now we're in a spot where patients want that transparency. It's a younger generation that is pursuing amplification and they want to understand what's involved in that. And that's being able to explain, you know, more of a fee-for-service model and valuing our services and what we bring to that journey for them. And in turn, in implementing all of that is very rewarding because we get to see that in practice and see the number of patients that we reach doing that and the positive outcomes that they're having. I mean, we all got into this field for that reason. So I think, you know, a lot of times our challenges turn into our rewards at the end of the day.
Well, great. Yeah, every day you get up and you face those challenges and they are your reward. And so I know, Lindsay, you and I, education, audiology, mentorship is near and dear to both of our hearts. Now, I know that you've served as a mentor and preceptor mm-hmm. to many doctoral audiology students over the years. So can you share with our listeners what some of the opportunities that are available for students at NTEF and where in their schooling and how they should reach out to you?
Yeah, we love being a precepting site. It's very rewarding to give back to our industry. I also feel that having students, you know, they're here to learn from us, but as clinicians, we really learn from them. I think teaching makes us stronger clinicians at the end of the day. So we are such a large site, so we do take on a fair amount of residents every year. Right now, we have 5 this year, and we're looking to expand that next year. Very competitive externship site. We have competitive pay. In a variety of locations. Like you said, across Florida, we offer externships on the West Coast, the East Coast of Florida, you name it, we've got opportunities there. We follow ACN timeline, and you can find all of our information on Audiology Online, Hear Careers, to apply for an externship with us.
So if a student is interested, mm-hmm. what if you had to give them some coaching as to how to make a good impression, what are some of the qualities that you're looking for? Because I know it's probably quite competitive. High visibility, high-end practice. There's no place to hide there. So what would you tell your prospects? What do they need to do to impress you and your team?
So during the interview, sometimes we do some mock counseling sessions. So I think confidence in counseling with patients, which is hard when you're coming to the end of your third year. And that's something that we really foster while you're here. I think strong speaking skills, and just clinical synthesis is really important. We like to see that you're already putting those pieces together so we can focus on fine tuning and really work on the counseling aspect of the position. I do feel that, sometimes in the education world, it's not the real world, right? And so having those situations in clinic, I don't feel that they're always prepared for price objections and having those difficult conversations with patients. A lot of times it's viewed negatively, like we're in sales. But we are. We're trying to sell our services. We want the patient to trust us with their hearing healthcare journey. And so you're selling yourself. You're not selling the product at the end of the day. You're selling yourself. So I think just that level of confidence is what we're looking for students to recognize that, you are in the business of sales. It's not so much the business of selling hearing aids. It's the business of selling your services and helping that patient entrust you with their healthcare.
Right. One of the things, we have a nationwide fourth year placement program called Match Me. And we try to match good folks with our clinics all over the country. One of the things that we've been trying to impart on our AUD faculty is spend more time. Don't just send your students out to an interview without providing them a little bit of guidance and a little bit of interview practice. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of them, they may have never, the only job they may have interviewed for is, a server at Applebee's.
Right, right.
Right? They're young, they're just starting their professional journey. So that's one of the things we've been trying to share with faculty. And we'll actually get, on a call with a faculty member and say, you're telling me this is the smartest student you've ever had. Their grades, everything looks great. But our concern is that they seem to have difficulty or are not comfortable speaking.
Yep. Yep. I think it's so important. That's your whole job, So that's extremely important to be confident when you're speaking to patients and confident in the interview. That shines through.
Well, let's just take a brief moment to talk about the relationship between the Institute and NTAF.
Yeah.
Our team has had the pleasure of working closely with you, and you've certainly been a great champion for what we're doing. And, we've been opening up our Otolab neurodiagnostic clinics inside your facilities, both on the east and west coast of Florida. And so could you share with us what, before we started working with you, what kind of vestibular services were you providing?
Yeah, great question. So previous to this relationship, a lot of our offices that had VNG services were very limited in our battery. Basically, it's probably similar to many clinics. I mean, we're a huge clinic, so I feel like our experience is probably very similar to others. Essentially, our battery was, SOP is VNG and Clorox, pretty much our whole battery. We had a few offices that did some occasional, like an occasional VIMP, ABR, ECOG, but most of our offices don't have the capability or equipment to do that. We are also a clinic, a company that relies heavily on audiology extenders through audiology assistants. So a lot of our locations were doing, our VNGs were performed by our assistants and then interpreted and reports were done by our audiologist. So this relation, we were so fortunate to have the opportunity to have this relationship with you guys. And I can say it kind of began, our first clinic was kind of an unusual situation when we brought you guys in. We were in a situation where we had a single physician, single audiologist, and our audiologist left. And we were having a really hard time finding an audiologist for that practice. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. The past few years, it's been challenging to find audiologists to hire. So we were thinking he was getting frustrated. Like, I need to be able to offer these services to our patients and we can't seem to fill this position. So that's when we got involved with you guys and we're like, hey, after doing research, how can we make this work? And so you offered us the platinum services to come into that office and it afforded us the ability to still see our vestibular patients because under your model, just like an assistant, we bill incident to the physician. So we don't need an audiologist on site to continue vestibular services. So it was really a great opportunity. And after we did that for some time, we said, wow, this really seems to be working, So how can we use this in other clinics? And that's when we started looking at our other sites. And Richard, you're in Florida, so you can probably relate to this. It seems like after the pandemic, Florida became overpopulated. It was like, during the pandemic, we were like no restrictions, the wild, wild west. Everyone wanted to move here. And then for those of you that aren't in Florida, it's historically has been very seasonal down here. And it seems like all of our snowbirds decided, well, we don't want to go back to New York or Canada or wherever. We want to stay here. So we had this influx of patients after the pandemic and we didn't have enough time to get them in. We were booking out 3 to 4 weeks for a consultation. And, you tell someone you come back in 4 weeks to talk about your treatment options, they're going to go somewhere else. So we thought, how do we get our patients only booking out 1 week? What do we do? And we said, well, we have all of these assistants performing vestibular services. Why don't we have them perform hearing aid services and let AIB take over our vestibular? And so it's been, I think, mutually beneficial for both of us in that sense. And it's afforded us the ability to get our patients in a lot quicker and take some of those simple appointments off of the audiologist, clean and checks, repair pickups, Bluetooth pairing, those appointments that just bog down your day and really focus on counseling and fittings and consultations and those types of things for our audiologists. So it's been such a win for our audiologists. They've been so happy. And our physicians and patients, it's not just a win for our audiologists, it's a win for our physicians and patients. I mean, we're seeing utilizing your model, we're able to have access to more tests so that we can get a full assessment of the patient. And in turn, they're going to have better outcomes when they go to VR. They're going to have more specialized rehabilitation for their issues. And so in turn, our patients are happier, our physicians are happier, and our audiologists are happier. So, I mean, we have been very pleased with this relationship and want to continue it for years to come.
Wonderful. So for those of folks who may not be familiar, so the concept of the American Institute of Balance, especially our Otolab, Neurolab, is to provide access to every ENT and neurologist with world-class services. So this means rotary chair, voc potential, cervical VEMP, ocular VEMP, electrocochleography. So the entire vestibular system, semicircular canals, otolith system, utricular function, saccular function. So by the time the ENT physician is ready to come up with a plan of care for their patient, there is no stone unturned. So they have every gold standard test at their disposal. And we do this in 100 square feet. Lindsay, has that been a struggle finding 100 square feet in some of your locations?
Not too much. I mean, there's been a few times where we've had to get really creative. But no, I we've been able to make it work. And we've gotten creative in a few spaces. So it's worked out fine.
Right. In the audiologist, the time that they're now not spending telling people, look up, look down, look right, look left.
Yeah.
What are they doing to fill that void, which I'm sure is not a void?
Oh, consultations like crazy. We're able to do same day consultations instead of writing reports at the end of the day. It's been beautiful.
Excellent. Have you, you know, we know that about 30% of folks that come in with a dizziness or vertigo balance issue actually have an undiagnosed and untreated bilateral aidable sensory and oral hearing loss.
Yes.
Have you yet had an opportunity to see if there's any crossover yet from some of these patients being able to, now that your audiologists have more time, be able to answer their questions about amplification?
You know, I don't have an answer to that, but I would venture to say that they have greater opportunity. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it sounds like the physicians are happy, the audiologists are happy. Why do you think the patients are happy?
I think the patients, I mean, I think that when you see the reports coming out, they're much more detailed than what we were providing based off of our limited test battery. So I truly believe that when it's time for them, if their journey is going to take them through vestibular rehab, I think that they are having less visits that they're having to go to, less assessment from the physical therapist. They come in with a report. The physical therapist knows what's going on and able to treat them effectively from day one and not spend some of those visits trying to dig deeper to see where the issue lies. So I think that they're having better outcomes with therapy and quicker than what they were having before. So,
well, wonderful. Yeah, we're a large provider of CEU education. So we have about a network of 11,000 AIB trained and certified therapists in vestibular rehabilitation, concussion. There's no mandate that you have to send to an AIB trained therapist, but it doesn't hurt.
Right.
Because everybody's speaking the same language. So right. They know what to do. Physical therapy is not free, even though it may be covered by Medicare or the Medicare Advantage plan. They may have a copay of $30, $40, $50, yep. $60. So if you can shorten their journey to wellness, it saves them money and inconvenience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Carrick, thank you so much for taking time from your very unbelievably busy schedule to be with us today. And again, on behalf of everyone here at the Institute, we look forward to working with you and your great physicians and audiologists and team members for many, many years. And again, thank for you. Anybody that's out there, if you need a world-class otolaryngologist or an audiologist, you now know where to go. So thank you again.
Yeah, bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye.